Hello, and welcome to the Daydream Believers podcast. I'm your host, Liz Chiarelli. Here, you'll find a monthly dose of insight to help keep you motivated, inspired, and informed so you can continue working towards your dreams. We cover a variety of topics from mindset to health to strategy so you can become the person you need to be in order to turn your dreams into reality. Every now and then, we'll also bring in some music artists to showcase some of the finest electronic music out there. Thanks for listening, and remember to head to lizchiarelli.com to download a free morning motivation that'll guarantee you start each day strong and stay on the path to success. Now, on to the show. Hello, Liz here, and welcome to another episode of the Daydream Believers podcast. On this episode, we're joined by Greg Wilnor, founder of Musician Monster, a website which exists to remind musicians of the truth that musicians have it within themselves to become prosperous. Together with his wife, Greg also runs Wilnor Design, a web design company whose focus is designing beautiful websites that will grow your business. I was really taken aback by his sheer awesomeness when we had our very first chat back in the early spring. He's an exceptional human being with a powerful mindset who intentionally wants to help people. Our plan today is to chat about creative ways people can make money from their art. We'll also be covering the topics of how to overcome obstacles to achieve the life of your dreams and how to set up a website that reflects your life purpose and generate an income from it. Hello and welcome, Greg. Thank you so much for taking the time out to sit down and chat with me.
Absolutely, Liz. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. Would you like to expand on that little introduction? I'd love for the listeners to get more of an idea of who you are and what you're about.
Yeah, absolutely. So beginning of this year, my wife and I actually sold our home in Florida to travel the world together. Right now we're in Wales, heading to Switzerland, Germany, and Italy.
Yay!
Going to be in your neck of the woods. And 4 years ago, I was actually a construction worker doing my music on the side. And I was in an attic one day. I don't know if you knew this. I was a construction worker, but I was installing air conditioning systems in residential buildings. So that involved crawling through attics in the middle of summer in Florida. And I was in this attic and I was like, oh God, this sucks. I hate this so much. I was like, why can't I make money doing my music? You know, I've been playing live all this time and for years and haven't made any money. What's going on? And then I don't really know what happened, but in that moment, this light bulb kind of went off and I realized that the only reason that I wasn't making money was because I hadn't made the decision to learn how to do it and then take responsibility on myself to make it happen. And as soon as that kind of awareness was brought to me, I instantly realized why. And that was because my plan, all subconsciously, was that I was hoping and waiting for somebody else to do it for me, right? Mm-hmm. And because that was my plan, you know, I never took action on making it happen myself. I just was waiting around. Mm-hmm. So within 3 months of realizing that, I totally transition to earning consistent income from the gigs I was already playing. And then a little less than a year later, I left my job to do my music full time. And then a year after that, my wife left her job to start a design business together. And then a year after that, we sold our home and are now traveling the world fully funded through both of our businesses.
That's so amazing.
Yep. I have the music business and we have the design business. So
inspiring.
Story behind that.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's a really inspirational story. And I encounter a lot of creative people in general who do have that mindset of, oh no, you know, I'm waiting for somebody else to help launch my career for me. And they don't even realize how disempowering that mindset is. And it's not until you actually take ownership of the fact that, yeah, no, this is your career. You have to do it yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Providence kind of seems to sweep in and things start to happen and doors start to open for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love for you to share with the listeners actually a little bit about how you earned money playing your gigs. How did you generate interest to get the bookings, and what are the creative ways that you thought of to kind of subsidize the income that you're making from your live gigs?
Yeah. So one of the things that we did there are two things we started doing right away to instantly make more money. One was just a little tip jar. Seems so obvious, you know, but the tip jar was really helpful in that a lot of people would come up to us at gigs and be like, you know, you guys are awesome. You know, you guys are so great. Do you have any music, or how can I support you guys? And we wouldn't have anything, you know? So, just a tip jar alone created simple infrastructure for people who wanted to give us something would know where to put their money. Because what'll happen is, instead of people asking you, most of the time people just won't do it.
Yeah, of course.
So just a little tip jar there would be like, okay, I know I can support them by putting my money here.
Yeah,
you know,
brilliant.
That was one little thing.
Was that before you had any merchandise set up? So like
yes.
CDs, anything? Yeah.
Yep.
The first thing
we didn't have anything. That was it. Yeah. And what that did, it was allowed us to start reinvesting that money back into other things that would help us earn more income.
Brilliant.
So that was one thing. Another thing we did is what I call the CD donation strategy, which is we had demo CDs that we recorded on my guitarist's home computer. And instead of waiting to go to the studio to get these professional CDs put together, we started burning our demo songs onto just a CDRW disc and exchanging them at gigs for donations. So we didn't charge anybody for them, but we just started taking donations.
Fantastic.
So those were just a few of the things that we started doing right away. We didn't have anything else. We didn't have any merchandise that we could just start doing. And any musician, whether you have fans or merchandise or whatever, it doesn't matter. Those are two things that you can start doing right away to earning way more income. I think the first gig we did that at, I almost earned $100 on our own just from that, in addition to, you know, before we weren't making anything. So that was a big thing.
Wow, that's amazing. A little shift can make such a big impact.
Yes, absolutely right.
Yeah. And if we could backtrack just a little bit, how did you initially approach getting gigs in the first place? Was it a case of going up to venues and saying to them like, hey, I've got an email list, I've got a fan base of like 70 or 100 people, 50 of which would be interested in coming to a gig here? Or were you just kind of on the fly, just taking gig bookings without necessarily guaranteeing any audience?
Yeah. So first, you know, when you're just getting started, you know, nobody cares about you. Nobody knows about you.
Yep.
So you have to take what you're given and really knock their socks off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So typically what that means is that's playing a lot of open mic nights.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Cool.
You're playing open mic nights.
Yeah.
And then once that happens, once people see that you have the right mindset, especially, I mean, if you're, the music's typically pretty good. That's not the problem. The problem is letting the people who will be inviting you back know that you're the type of musician who's going to help them grow their business and get people into their venue. Mm. So when you meet them and they see that you have the right mindset, you have the focus and the work ethic, they start inviting you back. They start inviting you to play. And that's what I noticed as we started playing open mic nights. I introduced myself to the venue owners and the promoters, and I didn't have to start pursuing gigs much longer after that. I was getting pursued and invited to play because they knew that I was going to help them out as well. So that's a very short answer to your question. There's more detail there, but that I think does a good job of summarizing what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess that could go for any creative venture as well, not necessarily music. It's the mindset rather than the strategy that is the key to success. Anybody, any creative that's wanting to exhibit or showcase their art or their creativity, if they adopt this mindset, is pretty much going to have doors open for them along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you got to think, like, a lot of times we're so focused on what we want mm-hmm. and what we can get instead of what we can give. And what happens is it's a very internal focus, which you got to be internally focused, but you have to start thinking about how are my unique talents and abilities impacting the lives of other people. You already have this awareness of you're doing this for yourself. You know, creating is an act of, you know, ego, because it really is. It's an act of, you know, expressing oneself. But in order to make that shift, you have to start being deliberate and in thinking about, okay, how do I want to use my unique talents and abilities to impact the lives of other people? Mm-hmm. How am I making the world a better place through what I'm doing? And just increasing that awareness shifts your mindset and your perspective. And that internal shift, there's also an outward shift where people start seeing you differently. And what it does is it invites prosperity to come in and really increases your chances of not having to work as hard to get from A to B, if that makes sense.
So true. Yeah. That's so true. I think that's a really important and very insightful pieces of information for any creative to take into consideration. A lot of the time we get caught up in our wants and needs, especially as a creative. I need to make this sale so I have this amount of money so then I can do this thing. It makes us actually lose sight of the fact that no, we're actually there to serve other people. And it's about how we enrich the lives of others through doing what we do. And like you said, when we just make that shift, doors start opening, people start responding, people actually start saying, oh, how can I help you? You know, is there anything I can do to help?
Yeah. Because you don't feel like you're this being stalked by this person who's looking for, you know, something, you know, this, you're helping this person who's creatively using their unique talents and abilities to help others. And it's a different shift, but you got to also make sure that when that shift happens, that you have the infrastructure that makes it easy for people to pay you, like the tip jar, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just expect this shift to happen and manna will fall from the heavens. You know, you have to make sure that you make it easy for people to pay you and to support you. So for me, that was the tip jar and then the CD donation strategy, which is what I called that. And for your industry, it might be different, but with the mind shift also comes the know-how, and you got to make sure that you set up the infrastructure and learn how to make it easy for people to pay you, whatever that might be. And it will happen. So. Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. I think this leads really nicely onto the questions that the members of the Daydream Believers community submitted. So we could start going through those. I'll start with Zabiza's question, because actually it's very mindset oriented. So he asks, how do you deal with a major setback that can cause you to question everything that you are doing in a negative way? I had a huge setback in college and I'm finding that I have become entirely demotivated in pursuing it and redirecting myself.
Yeah. Well, this is a tough thing. I wish I had more detail from it about, you know, kind of the situation, but I think that I can add value here. Major setbacks are tough in that they kind of knock the wind out of your sails. And unless you find a way to redirect yourself, to redirect your focus in a way that inspires you, it's really hard to get going again. And one of the reasons is because exactly what he said, question everything you're doing in a negative way. Mm. So there's two sides to everything. There's the negative side and there's the positive side. And the one that you feed is the one that is given strength. Mm-hmm. Meaning if you focus on the negative side, if that's what you look for, then that's all you'll see. Mm-hmm. And you have to learn how to switch your brain. There's literally figuratively, there's a switch in your brain. And you got to train yourself to ignore the negative parts and look for the positive parts. And what that does is it really starts to reinvigorate you. Mm-hmm. You start to see the possibilities again. You start to be encouraged again. And there's nothing's changed other than what you're looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so true.
Looking for the positive. Go ahead.
Do you have any tips on how to flick that switch?
Yes. So I realized that I had this problem and that I had a habit of looking for the negative things.
Don't we all? And
yeah. So now I actually have a habit of looking for the positive things. So it starts with awareness and believing that this, that what I'm saying is true. Because when I would hear people say what I'm saying before, when I had a negative mindset, when I was used to looking at negative things, I would be like, oh my God, that person's so full of crap. Dude, you are just easy guy. So why don't you go live on a cloud somewhere and just leave us realists to the truth over here. So I was totally turned off by it. But I don't remember exactly what happened, but I started to kind of see that, okay, maybe this, that really is, you know, the truth. And I stopped looking at it in a abstract way. And I started looking at it in a logical way. And so what I did is I just started reprogramming myself, I suppose you could say, to look at positive things. So what I did is when I caught myself thinking about something negative, I would consciously grab onto that, realize what it was, and then start say, okay, well, what's the good in this? What's the good in this? And that was so hard to do.
Yeah. In the
beginning because I had a habit. Yeah. It felt weird. It felt fake. It felt like I was trying to force something that wasn't me. But that wasn't what it was. It was simply because I had a habit.
Yeah.
And now, years later, after I've rewired that, it feels weird thinking about the negative stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was before because I reprogrammed myself.
Yeah.
So it's not this woo-woo cheesy thing. It's just, you know, it's habit. And so that's the thing that I suggest doing is just training yourself to look for the positive instead of the negative.
Yeah.
And then all the things that you thought were in your way go away because you don't look at them anymore. Yeah. You look at the things you can do. Yeah. It's literally that simple.
It's so true. It's so true. Your focus creates your reality. So quite simply, if you're constantly focusing on negative things or if you're constantly focusing on the lack that you, or the things that are missing from your life, or, you know, resenting what you don't have rather than giving thanks for what you do have, guess what's going to happen? You're just going to go deeper and deeper into the things that you don't want. And it's a real slippery slope because I was in exactly the same position as well a few years ago. I kept focusing on all of the things that were missing from my creative career and all of the frustration that I was experiencing because of that. And it just sent me into a darker and darker hole until I kind of reached rock bottom. And I just felt it was almost like universe had backed me into a corner and had put me into a room where all my demons were. And I had no choice but to finally face them. And like you said, it was like a switch went off in my head and I realized, my goodness, I've just been laboring under a mountain of delusion all these years, putting all of my energy into focusing on the things that I don't want in life rather than focusing on the things that I do want in life. And it sounds so obvious. It almost sounds like child's play, but it's so hard to make that shift. And I really liked the strategy that you gave of just being aware of the negative thought patterns and catching them before they run away inside your head. So it's just being like, okay, yep, I'm thinking negatively. Actually, how can I use logic and reason to prevent this negative train of thought from running away?
Yeah. And just back to what you said, form a habit of thinking about the things that you do want instead of the things that you don't want. And that, if I could summarize that into one sentence, that would be it.
Yeah.
Form the habit of thinking about the things that you do want instead of the things that you don't want.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes. Listeners, take notes. Write it on a piece of paper and stick it where you're going to see it every day.
Yes. Until you reprogram yourself successfully, then you don't have to do it anymore. But you will. It'll feel, if this is something you believe in, you want to do it, it'll feel weird at first. But just know that it's because it's a habit that you're breaking. Yeah. And the habit that you're breaking is going to change your life. Yeah, so
totally. And just like any habit that you have to break, you have to go through a period of discomfort. smokers, drinkers, people that yep. are addicted to sugar. You have to go through that weird detoxification period where you're climbing the walls and scratching the table and shouting at everybody because you're really, really angry because your body isn't getting what it thinks it needs. But yeah, through on the other side of that discomfort is freedom, basically.
Yeah, and it's cool. You can project your free will and your consciousness and your desire and what you want into that, and then reprogram yourself based on the life that you want. Yeah. But you got to get past your weaknesses, I guess, that you've never deliberately decided to change. And that's what it is. So
yeah, those habitual behavioral patterns that steer our ship without us even realizing it.
Yep.
Yeah. Amazing stuff. And it's, again, you use that word free will. And that's the thing that I seem to find a lot of people forget that they have. They have free will. They have a choice. Okay, some people may have better situations externally than others. But what goes on inside our heads is up to us to cultivate. We have the choice. We have the free will over which thought patterns to give our energy to. And a lot of us don't realize that. We just think that we're on this out of control speeding train that is our thoughts, and that we have no way of controlling them or no way of choosing which thoughts enter our minds or which thoughts we give our energy to. The reality we do, that is the one thing we do have a choice over.
It's really the only thing you have a choice over. Yeah. To think about.
Yes, absolutely.
on a fundamental level, everything can be taken away from you, but your ability to choose what to think. You know what I mean?
Yes, there you go. Yeah.
Or to choose a response. Everything can be taken away but that one thing. So yeah.
Totally. It's super profound when you think about it, really.
Absolutely.
I'd love to move on to Matthew's question, actually, which is more of a strategic question mm-hmm. about branding. So he's saying, personal branding is a subject I feel I need to embrace along with a supporting website, but feel intimidated by as I don't know how to present myself and also don't feel confident to make decisions on visual things like fonts, graphics, and logos. So any getting started tips for that would be greatly appreciated. Plus, while I have various social media accounts for my We Are We Together name, which is his music name, I'm not mm-hmm. sure if just using my actual name would not be better for a promo site for my writing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this guy's a musician.
Yeah.
Okay, so personal branding. So branding as a musician. So the biggest thing to start branding yourself, personal branding, it's such a shift from traditional branding, because we're seeing that with the change in social media, people are craving authentic relationships these days. So personal branding is a huge thing right now. Branding yourself as an individual instead of this faceless business who's trying to put on an act. All right. There's a big difference there. So especially as a musician, like, we have to be so aware of first who we are as individuals before we can brand ourselves authentically. I call this the difference between branding yourself from the outside in versus the inside out. Yeah. Branding from the outside in involves looking at what everybody else is doing, what everybody might like, what everybody thinks you ought to do, the expectations that other people have. All right. And that's branding from the outside in. But branding from the inside out involves looking and thinking deeply about who you are, what you want to do, what you believe, and what you want your legacy to be, how you want your music to impact the world, and then using that as a starting point to brand your music and then go from there. And what that does is it allows you to abandon all the expectations that people have of you, and you're able to freely, for the first time, think about how can I brand myself in a way that best reflects who I am as an individual and as a musician. And that does a lot with one fell swoop. Yeah. Not only are you able to brand yourself consistently and authentically, because that is an unchanging core within you that, you know, never changes, you're also able to go from one musical project to the next and still be consistent with your branding, because, you know, the music and the graphics are the result of that thing that you discovered, all right? And that thing that you discover never changes. Hmm. And that's all about personal branding, you know, it's branding yourself as an individual. And then from there, what you can start doing is you can start answering questions like the fonts, the graphics, and the logos, because you're able to brand consistently because you have that identified. And the challenge with branding music is matching the way that your music sounds with the visual elements of your design. And there are ways that you can go about doing that by finding tangible visual representations of your music. So in my course, I talk about how to brand from the inside out instead of the outside in. And one of the first things you do after you get that clear picture of who you are as an individual, you're then free to explore how to match the sound of your music with a visual design, a logo, graphics, colors, fonts. And in my course, I talk about how to get your, what I call your brand core, all right? These are the three fundamental building blocks that you identify that match the sound of your music that you use in all of your branding elements, your logo, your business cards, all of these different things. So your brand core are colors, fonts, and art style. Nice. So the way that you can start, he said he wanted tips on how to get started. So the first thing that I would recommend that he would do would be to match his color with the sound of his music. Mm-hmm. And the way that I suggest doing that is colors represent different emotions. Like different colors have different psychological effects on us depending on the color that we're looking at. So what I would do is I would identify the vibe or the emotion that he frequently conveys through his music and then look up a color that best reflects that emotion. And I would start with there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And there's all these cool little tricks that you can do to match, you know, to take the abstract, because music is abstract, you know, mm-hmm. and to brand it successfully, you kind of got to bring it from the abstract into the logical through tangible ways to bridge that gap. And then color is one of the easiest ways to start doing that. So I'd start there, Matthew, and then kind of go from there.
Fantastic. Really good advice. Thanks, Greg.
Absolutely.
Yeah, do you have any other tips?
So I actually have this little PDF you can download that has more information on this. If you want to go to musicianmonster.com/brand, B-R-A-N-D, you can download the PDF. It's called three ways to brand your music you probably never heard of.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much, Greg. That'll be super
Absolutely.
Useful. And yeah, I'm sure lots of people will head there. Was there anything else you wanted to add to Matthew's question?
No, I feel like that does a pretty good job of getting him started, which I think was what he wanted. The only other question he might, I'm just reading off his question again. I have various media accounts for my We Are Together name. I'm not sure if I use my actual name, but for my promo site, for my writing. That depends, because, you know, your brand is your name. If you're going to use We Are Together as your name, then I would do that. But if you wanted to use your personal name, is that what you're going to brand? It's just a call, you know, what feels right for you and how you want to portray yourself. But to me, that's not, whatever you pick, just make sure you use the same one consistently on all sites, whether that be We Are We Together or Matthew, your personal name. So that's up to you.
Yeah, cool. Brilliant. Thanks. Okay, we'll go on to Ron's question now. And Ron says, I'm working really hard at licensing my music. I feel like sending music off to publishers is a vague way to get this done. Are there ways to get to know producers and publishers in such a way that would mean they really take an interest? I think that's a hot question and a lot of music artists' lips.
Yeah. So it's interesting because remember what we were talking about earlier where... Okay, so the shift has to occur in the mind where you're like, okay, what do I have that these people would need? And how can I position myself in a way that makes it come across or I'm trying to help them instead of I'm just begging them for a favor? You know what I mean? That's like, that seems such a vague, unactionable piece of advice. But I mean, if you think about it, and you're just going to come across as somebody who's just looking for a favor, unless you are aware of, okay, what do I have that I can help them do, help them with, instead of the other way around. I don't know, Liz, what do you think?
I actually agree. And just speaking from experience as well, if in the past when I've gone with my kind of hat in my hands approach of like, oh, you know, please can you help me, or with that kind of begging approach, I either get ignored or just get a no thank you. You know, this isn't what we're looking for. Whereas if I really do my research and, you know, really get to know what that company is about, what they're really looking for, and try to look for the gaps in their market and try to fill their gaps for them. So basically do my research first, come at them from a stance where you feel like you're relating to them human to human rather than artist to someone on a pedestal up here somewhere that you feel can really help you and kickstart your career. Yeah. And what I sometimes do, even before I send any links, is just try to have a conversation with that person and ask, you know, say, hey, you know, I've noticed that you've got a lot of this and a lot of that in your catalog, but you don't have so much of this. Would you be up for me writing you an album's worth of this sort of stuff? If you'd like to have a quick reference of what I write, here's two or three tracks, like just send them two or three tracks so they're not spending hours listening to your music, but they get a good enough idea of how good you are at writing in that particular style. And then, you know, I've actually gotten some pretty big contracts approaching things that way, because then it shows those people that you've done the work, you've done the background work, and you're coming at them from a place of, hey, I can help you with something, rather than, hey, can you help me with something, please?
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's really good advice in general. I know it's not super specific, but reframing the way that you look at this entire thing and how you approach it will really make it easier, Ron, for you to get more results. Yeah. Because taking that perspective that Liz just kind of shared with you, and then reframing every single situation that you come across when you're trying to approach people about how to license your music, if you go about it in the way that Liz is suggesting, you will have far more success, and you'll have the right mindset to get what you're after ultimately, because you consider yourself to be a servant. You know, you're serving other people through your music and your unique talents and abilities. And the result of that is that you will be compensated for what you're doing financially, and it'll be a lot easier for you to get what you want if you think about how you can use what you're good at and what you want to help other people get what they want, right? Which in this their case is they need great music to license to their customers, whatever those be. So if you say, hey, I'm that guy, I'm going to help you give that to your customers, you come from it from that perspective, it's a no-brainer for them. Like, why wouldn't they? Yeah. So I think that's an important thing to remember in any situation.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's a really subtle shift, but it makes a big, big difference. And I also find that just trying to meet people face to face as well, rather than just trying to converse with people over the internet, is also a very, very, very effective way of making new connections.
I can add to that too. My wife and I, when we went to this little conference called FinCon, conferences are not something that creative introverted people like myself typically want to do or are excited about. More so we approach begrudgingly because we feel, you know, well, I guess I just, you know, better do this because I got to meet people. Oh God. So and that was totally my attitude going into this. It's terrible, but you know, I'm confessing this to you.
I totally relate to you. That's why I'm giggling.
So we went, and FinCon is the Financial Bloggers Conference. People who are in the personal finance space, it's equivalent to the, you know, CD Baby Music Conference. And we went, and we were introduced to people who ended up being, you know, just totally cool. And we got so much business from going because people saw that, oh, Greg's a cool guy. He's got the right mindset. So sometimes I was thinking about, oh my gosh, these plane tickets, you know, these are $2,000, you know, I can't. Yes. But we went, and the business that we got and the relationships that we got out of it totally paid for it, you know, tenfold. So I say that to say, Ron, if you really want to springboard your results into publishing, coupled with your new mindset, going to a conference and introducing yourself to people in that way with that mindset, that'd really be a great way for you to position yourself, get a lot of results quickly, and stand out above the rest. So I encourage you to consider doing that.
That's great, great advice. Maybe if we could go back to the creative ways that you could generate income from doing things that you love, and just thinking creatively about making money from your passions. It's a real sticking point for so many creative people. It really makes me sad, actually. I encounter so many amazing creative people who are just waiting for somebody else to launch their career for them rather than thinking creatively and applying their creative genius, which they evidently have because they're making amazing creations all the time. And, you know, not just musicians, there are, you know, artists, filmmakers, yeah, animators, graphic designers, all sorts of creative people. What are some of the ways that you, as a creative thinker, could just throw onto the table at a creative person that's sitting opposite you saying, oh, I just can't make money from my art?
I would say I've had a few conversations with exactly like this.
And I can imagine.
Just as a little disclaimer, I tend to be blunt and straightforward.
Please do so.
And I don't think that I would be as much that way if I hadn't experienced firsthand the transformation that comes when you, as a creative person, stop looking outside for your problems and start looking inside about what you can do about them. If I hadn't experienced the dramatic life-changing shift that happens once you stop doing that, I probably wouldn't be as, you know, straightforward about it. But, you know, it's so much of it depends on the situation and the individual as far as what they're trying to accomplish. But I would say that if there's one thing that any creative person has to overcome in order to get whatever they want with their creative endeavors, is to learn how to stop looking at everything. Stop looking at what you can't do, what you cannot control, what is out there that can't be done, what is holding you back. And start looking at what can I do? What is my responsibility? How can I advance my career? What is up to me? Stop looking at everybody else and blaming other people for why you can't get what you're after. Start looking for yourself. And until you make that shift and make that decision, you will never, ever get what you're after. And that has to happen first. It's just until it does, it can't happen. Just can't. It won't. You just gotta do it, man.
So true.
I can't. Like, too many creative people think like victims, and they, you know, they surrender their success to things that are out of their control and other people. Mm-hmm. It's sad, but it's not sad because it's 100% their fault. You know, I hate to sound like a jerk, but I mean, I did the same thing, you know, and until I was in that attic one day and realized it, literally like 3 months later, man, I was making money. Yeah. So until that happens, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. And as quickly as 3 months.
Yeah. And then less than, you know, 4 years later, I have two businesses and I'm traveling the world earning income doing what I love. And yeah. That's how powerful that shift happens.
Yeah.
So if this is something that, as a creative person, you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, you know, gosh, man, what is that about? I recommend that you read a book. And this is the book that helped me understand that. It's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. And the first chapter in that book was what helped me learn that mindset. So I encourage you to pick it up.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I'll add that to the podcast notes so people can go and get that book. It's an amazing book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. I think, you know, just to add to that as well, it's, I think so many artists without even knowing it, just sink into a victim mentality of, oh, the economy's so bad, like nobody wants to invest in creative things anymore, or oh, the record industry is dead, you know, nobody wants to buy music anymore, everyone's pirating music, there's no way I can make money as a creative, poor me as a creative, oh, I wish I didn't have this burden of being a creative. And I would pretty much say what you have to say is, you know, just get off your butt and start being proactive about stuff, because there is always a way. There's always a way. And don't resent your creativity and don't resent your creative gifts, because if you do, Lady Muse and her inspiration is going to make a quick exit, because you're going to really offend her. And so then where will you be? I really do believe that we're all creative as human beings. We're born with the innate ability to be able to create and to be creative. It's our God-given gift, if you like.
Yeah.
And we should treat it as that, a gift, not a burden. And it seems to me that too many creatives resent their passions or resent their creative calling. But it's a really dangerous mindset to start adopting, because you're going to very quickly find yourself on a very slippery slope into a darker and darker mindset. And you've really got to break that cycle.
Yeah. So there's two sides to everything. There's positive and negative. And the negative side, the result of beating the negative side is poverty. And where poverty is prevalent, there's lack of inspiration. There's a lack of art. There's a lack of creativity. There's a lack of wealth. There's a lack of positivity. So when you feed that, the consequences are mainly prevalent in your own life. You weren't born to you aren't doing what you were born to do, which is to create and to serve other people through your unique talents and abilities, and then prosper as a result of it. Mm. And then the opposite of that is if you choose to focus on the positive things, the result of that is that you're helping the world become a better place. You're happier as an individual. You're using your unique talents and abilities to serve others while also being filled yourself. And then you're also earning income from that. So that's how wealth and prosperity is generated. So the opposite side of that is everything is the antithesis of that. So to me, the thing that is the result of causing that is fear and frustration. Mm. So you have to overcome that and beat that in order to achieve and be handed, you know, your birthright. Mm. So I don't know if that's relevant or not, but that's definitely the way I started looking at it.
Yeah, totally. I think that's very relevant. It's a really good strategy for overcoming obstacles, and a lot of the obstacles do exist inside our own heads.
Yeah, that's where it all exists.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd really love to invite you to chat about the courses that you have.
Yep. I have a course about how to earn income from live music, and a course about how to brand yourself as a musician using some of the other techniques we talked about earlier. And if you want more information on that, I have this free PDF called The 3 Ways to Brand Your Music You've Probably Never Heard Of. And that be a good thing that I would recommend that you would download and check out. You can go to musicianmonster.com/brand. And then I also have a blueprint of the 4 things that you can do at every live performance to start earning income from the gigs you're already playing. And if you want that PDF, again, both of these are totally free. just go to musicianmonster.com/blueprint. All right. And you can check those two things out.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Greg, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. Thank you so, so much for taking the time out to share your wisdom and your learnings and your knowledge with the listeners of the Daydream Believers podcast.
You're most welcome. It's funny, before we finish here, I tell my, you know, my parents and my family that, you know, they got no clue what we're doing over here. You know, the internet and making money on the internet and, you know, entrepreneurship, they're like, oh, you must, you know, be a CIA agent or something like that. So when I tell my mom, I do these podcast interviews and stuff, she's like, people actually listen to you talk on these things? Yeah, ma, thanks.
Yeah, they do actually.
So thank you so much, Liz. I really enjoyed it, and I hope that I was able to add some value and share some insight with your audience.
Yeah, for sure you have. Definitely. There was some moments in there where I was just like, yes, that is a truth that every creative needs to have ingrained into their brains.
Well, if you want it bad enough, you'll make the decision and you'll do what needs to happen. If you don't want it bad enough, you'll have excuses.
Exactly.
Until that sets in, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. But then once you decide otherwise, you can then change your life for the rest of your days. And then all the other things that happened before you look like a stepping stone for the achievement and the life that you're headed towards. So
yeah.
It's freaking awesome, actually.
Yeah. And you're hearing it firsthand, people.
Yes.
Thanks so much for listening. It's my pleasure to be able to bring you guests who are experts in their field to help you continue walking the path of your dreams. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'd love to know what you thought of it, so please do remember to subscribe in iTunes and give us a little rate and review. If the show resonated with you, please share it with someone you think would benefit from it. If you have a question or topic you'd like answered on the podcast, head to lizcirelli.com/contact and pop me a message. If you'd like to join my coaching community, Daydream Believers, and connect with me on a deeper level, you can become a patron. Just head to patreon.com/LizCirelli, where you can sign up quickly and easily. As a patron, you'll get access to the full range of my coaching packages, plus you'll get exclusive early access to all of my musical output.